All right. So now it's time for us to turn to God's Word and dig in a little bit together. As you know, if you've been here recently, that we are working our way through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. My goal in this series is for us to take this foundational teaching of Jesus, these things that he told us about life from the perspective of God's kingdom and the things that he wants from us. These are foundation of Jesus' commands for us. And I want us to come to this with fresh hearts and minds, not just settling for a current understanding of who Jesus is, but to realize, as we talked about recently, that there's always more for us to know. There are things that we think we know that may not be true. There are things that we can understand more deeply. We want to come to the Gospels with open hearts and open minds, allowing the Word to speak into us as we set aside our own presuppositions and continue to grow in our knowledge of God and what he's looking for in us. So we're at the very beginning. The beginning of the Sermon on the Mount is this section called the Beatitudes. And as you recall, that word beatitude is just a word that means to be happy or blessed. Last week, we focused on the first of these. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we considered what that means. This first beatitude is thought to be foundational for all the rest of them. So it's important to understand what this one means in order to have some better understanding of the rest. And so just a quick review, when you look at the original language of that statement, poor in spirit, you see that Jesus is referring to people who have come to the point of complete dependence on someone else, coming to the point of complete dependence on God for our spiritual well-being. That word poor here is a word that means someone who is utterly destitute and dependent on others for survival, incapable of doing for themselves what needs to be done. And so to be poor in spirit means you have come to realize that we are incapable of fulfilling ourselves spiritually or satisfying God on our own. In case you missed that message, there's more we said about that. I encourage you to listen to that one in full. You can always find our sermons on our website. We post them on Facebook. You can subscribe to our podcast. These are great ways for you to re-listen to things or share them with others. But this one I thought was a good one for us to hold as a foundation for everything else we're going to be talking about in the next few weeks. So today we're going to go on to the next one. We'll see how this is connected with being poor in spirit. So we're going to start with Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. I'll give you a moment to open up that passage if you want to follow along. We're just going to start with that single verse. But it's always great to follow along, and it's kind of a check for me to make sure I'm reading directly from God's Word, right? It's good to hold each other accountable to that. So Matthew 5, 4 says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Some translations may write it as blessed those who are mourning, just emphasizing that the language there refers to people who are living in an ongoing state of mourning. It isn't just that somebody mourned in the past or they're mourning today, but they are in mourning. And as we'll talk about it, that's often what happens when we start to mourn. We remain in mourning for a long time. We understand that mourning is a deep level of sorrow. It's more than just being sad. Mourning is a state that arises out of great loss or changes in our lives. And it's accompanied by a complex set of emotions that can include sadness, anger, grief, confusion, disorientation, and even denial. So it's hard to pin down sometimes what is exactly going on. Most often we think of mourning as the loss of a loved one, a family member or a friend. Could be the loss of a pet. And the loss doesn't actually have to even be the loss of their life. It could mean that we've just been separated from them. And we go into mourning over the loss of that connection. You might mourn the loss of a career or a home or a long-held dream. And a person may mourn for a very long time. While they may carry on with life as normal and experience even joy and gladness in parts of that life, that loss remains with them. Somewhere within them, it's always there. It's a personal burden they carry with them throughout their life. And this is what it means to be in mourning. Oftentimes, that loss remains. Someone in mourning is especially vulnerable to loneliness and emptiness, sadness, and even hopelessness. Because we were made for connection. We mourn when the connection we once had is now severed. That's the best understanding I can come to as I think about this, to understand when mourning happens. There's a connection that has been severed. The loss of these things creates a lasting emptiness in our life, and it's part of the brokenness of this world that we all experience loss. We carry that loss with us in our hearts and minds. Now, all these experiences of mourning that I've mentioned are valid and heartbreaking reasons to mourn. The depth of what Jesus is referring to here is actually much deeper. Because there's another sense of mourning and loss you can often experience as a child of God. Someone who wants to know him and enjoy him and live life to the fullest for him. We read in Genesis that God created this world and everything in it, and he was very pleased with it. There's so much greatness and beauty we can enjoy about God's creation. We rejoice when we encounter God's goodness and glory in the world. We spend our days sometimes looking for that, wanting to just see the goodness of God and feel it in our hearts. Yet we also learn about the fall. Sin entered the world when Adam and Eve disobeyed the Lord. And the effect of sin has been carried throughout all of history. It's had an effect on every person, and it's had its effect on all of creation. Sometimes I sit and think about how sin has had a cumulative effect since that day when Adam and Eve first disobeyed. And we're experiencing that brokenness of the world every single day. This is what I think about when I think about things like disease, famine, fires and floods and other kind of natural disasters. It's part of the brokenness that came with sin. I think about conflicts between people, innocents caught in between, people who've been dislocated from homes and jobs and families. They have to uproot their lives and go who knows where to try to restart and reestablish themselves. And sometimes they go places where they meet anger and distrust. And they mourn the loss. I want to give us the time to just think about this together and maybe express some of the things that are on your hearts. What breaks your heart about this world when you look at the brokenness of it? What are some of the things that come to mind for you? The hatred that people have against other groups of people. Yeah. Yeah. And it can break your heart just to think about the effect that has on people. What else? Hunger. People, yeah. When you realize how many people, kids, living in hunger every day can be heartbreaking. People taking advantage of others. There's so many things that we see in the world that you just know it's not supposed to be that way. Any other thoughts before I go on? I want to give this time because sometimes it's good for us to just express those things that just frustrate us and upset us about the world. Number of people that Satan has deceived and blinded, yeah. People who are living in that blindness, making choices that are self-destructive, and they can't see their way out. They get stuck in addictive cycles that are hard to break even when they want to. It's heartbreaking. Some of the other things I think of are the epidemic of loneliness and despair that we're starting to see more and more of. Despite all of our technology for communication these days, people are more and more isolated from one another. more and more self-focused than ever before. I think about all just the divisions. Rochelle mentioned the hatred that people have for other groups. We just see that in so many ways. People deciding just because somebody belongs to a certain group or even just expresses an opinion that sounds like they might belong to another group, all of a sudden they're just hated. I mentioned addictions, people being forced into slavery of all kinds. There's still so much slavery in this world. People innocently taken from their homes. I think about the struggles of young people today who are inundated with confusing notions of identity and purpose, leaving them feeling lost and uncertain about tomorrow. There's a lot of young people growing up today who just look at the future in fear. Like, how am I going to survive? What does it mean? How can I possibly be an adult? We can go on and on talking about all these things. And just bring these up to say, do you feel that sense of brokenness when you look at the world? Of knowing that the world is not the way it should be? We read about God's desires and God's plans, and then we look around and we're like, it's not the way it is. There's so much brokenness. And having that sense of burden, that sense of mourning for the world, of mourning the loss of what God intended, is a good sign that your heart is aligned with God's. You want what he wants, and you're mourning over that brokenness that exists, the loss of all the good he intended for his creation. I honestly think it's impossible to avoid carrying some burden of grief when we have come to know the Lord and all that he desires for us. And we hold that up against the realities of existence. It's heartbreaking. And that heartbreak can be crushing at times. That's because we're mourning what could be. We know it shouldn't be this way. We wish there was more we could do. And this is where mourning is tied to that idea of being poor in spirit, because we often feel helpless and incapable of fixing things. Now, in my years of ministry, there's been many conversations I've been where people have said, take those things that burden you about the world, those things that just make you upset and even angry, and say, that's the area that God wants you to serve him in. And go out there and do good in this world in that area. And there's some value to that, I think. There are good things that we can do. And a big part of serving the Lord is about being used by him as his redemptive tool and restorative tool in this world. And yet, remember what I talked about last week. Remember when we talked about the fact that we try so hard, we go to great lengths to try to fix things on our own, and usually what happens, we end up coming to the end of our ability. There's always more, or it doesn't seem like we're able to get through. We maybe even think we've made progress, and then things fall apart again and again. And this is a reality because we in ourselves are not capable of restoring the world. We have to get to the point of saying, I can't do this on my own. And getting to that point isn't giving up. And this is the good news. It can sound like you're just giving up and saying, forget it, I can't do anything. That's not what I'm saying. You have to get to the point of saying, I can't do this. This is where the good news begins. When we come to the end of ourselves, when we become so poor in spirit about the brokenness of the world, we're like, Lord, my heart is breaking for this world. I see the damage that's being done all around me, and I can't do anything. That's the moment where our mourning and the poorness of our spirit opens up our dependence on God. And we open up our lives in him, and that's where his work begins through us. And it's so important for us to remember to work in his power, in his presence. So Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. I mean, I want us today to recognize and admit to the burdens of grief that we carry, whether it's personal grief of loss that you've experienced, as I'm sure almost all of us have had, or whether it's that sense of brokenness about the world, that mourning in your heart that sometimes leads to anger, sometimes leads to sadness and hopelessness, that's mourning for what could be or what should be. Let's admit to that burden of grief that we carry. And Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. Consider that for a moment. So often we default to thinking that being blessed in life means that things are going to go smoothly and wonderfully. There will be no pain. Think about the great lengths that people go to today, that we go to today, to try to avoid pain. We play it safe. We look for the path of least resistance. We take the easy route, right? We try to do everything we can to make sure that we don't experience pain and brokenness and loss, because we don't want to experience the mourning. Parents often work hard to prevent their kids from experiencing pain and difficulty, to the extent that we have, what do we call parents these days sometimes? Helicopter parents. I've heard the term bulldozer parents. Right, it's getting pretty bad out there that parents so want to make sure that their kids don't suffer that they will go out of their way to just clear the path for them. But we know. That's the opposite extreme that exists out there, and kids are caught in the middle of that. But trying to prevent pain and suffering leads to a lack of resilience. It leads to a lack of being able to handle the challenges that will come. We can never avoid the pain and suffering of this world. It's out there, and every one of us is going to experience it in some way. We are going to lose things, and we have to admit to that fact. We can't prevent that. So Jesus is trying to open our eyes to that fact. He wants us to be honest and recognize that this world is hard, and there will be loss, and you will mourn. Every one of us will experience that. There's no escaping it. There's no shielding from it. Jesus is calling us to be honest about the challenges of life and open to him about our limitations, to be poor in spirit about these things. And we are blessed when we are honest and place our life in his hands. He says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And the kind of comfort expressed in the original language is a comfort of being called alongside another person. The comfort here is the gift of God's presence, his strength, his warmth and love being made available to you in times of loss and mourning. And this is a reminder that we are never alone. It's in our moments of vulnerability and loss that we can most powerfully feel the comfort of the presence of God. So as we can be blessed in those times because we understand him all the more than if everything went well. In our mourning, we're able to connect with God more closely and come to understand him in ways that we couldn't if we never experienced loss. There's comfort in our present times of mourning, knowing that Jesus is with us. Knowing him and drawing close to him can strengthen you and guide you as you walk through the brokenness of the world each day. As you carry that burden with you, just knowing he's there can make such a difference. We've talked about the gift of presence here before. There's so much strength that comes in just that togetherness of having someone being with you through the hard times, carrying the burden with you, coming alongside you. That's what God offers us each and every day. That's how one of the ways that we can be blessed in our times of mourning. There's also a comfort from knowing the future time when Jesus has promised to return and execute God's justice and restore all things. Open up to Revelation 21, verses 4 and 5, and read the promise there when Jesus restores God's kingdom. Revelation 21, verses 4 and 5. It says that he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. This is the ultimate promise of Jesus' return, Jesus' ultimate restoration of God's creation. That there shall be no more mourning at that time. That's part of the comfort that we receive from knowing God. So there is certainly much to mourn about in this world. And I think it's important for us to be honest about that, as I've mentioned. Let's not deceive ourselves into thinking that we can prevent every loss and every pain, or that we can fix everything around us. It can be overwhelming at times just to consider how much brokenness there is all around us every day. I know sometimes we have to put up boundaries to prevent ourselves from being flooded with all the bad stuff that we hear. It's so much more than we can handle on our own. But God wants us to understand and admit to that. And that produces all kinds of emotions in us. That's the reality of living in a state of mourning. Let's recognize and admit to the burdens of brokenness that we carry, the things that anger and upset and sadden us. And as we wrestle with them, let's recognize this, that we have a Lord and Savior who offers himself to us, that we can find blessing in that because he is near. One of the greatest lessons I continue to learn is to remember in my times of emptiness and isolation, God is there with me. And that's not just an empty idea of faith. It's a reality. He truly is there. There have been so many times where I've just sat in the quietness and the loneliness and just reminded myself of his presence. And his word fills my heart. He reminds me of who he is. And he can change that moment for me. God is near. And he comforts us in our times of mourning. He offers not only his strength and the promise to make things new, but he offers his presence and his peace and his certainty. So blessed are you who mourn, for you shall be comforted. That is the promise of the presence of God. Let's pray and give him thanks that he is near to us. And then we'll close out our worship time with our closing song and enjoy some time of fellowship downstairs together. Let's pray. Lord, we recognize and admit to loss in our lives. There are many things that make us sad and upset and angry. And I thank you that you offer yourself to us, that the greater gift than just taking it all away is for you to be present, because we know that there is much in this world that you are doing. There are many lessons we can learn through the pain. There is restoration available and possible, but it comes through you and with you. I pray for every one of us near that we can have a greater sense of your presence in our lives. We can know that you are with us in everything, and we can just lay our heads on you. We don't need to say the right things or do the right things, but just allow you to come near. We thank you for the gift of your presence and your comfort. In Jesus' name, amen.